section 13. So you guys could turn there. It's not freezing up here. Pastor had mercy on me. So we'll read and then we'll pray. Revelation 13 says, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, with 10 horns and 7 heads, with the 10 diadems on its horns and a blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?' And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And the authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let us pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you have not left us just wandering out here, Lord. Your word is a light, Lord. It gives us understanding. It is clear, Father God, and we thank you that it just leads us into all righteousness and all truth, Lord. So, again, we thank you for this book, Lord, that you've laid before us, Lord. So, we just ask that your Holy Spirit comes down and anoints us, Lord, and just opens our eyes and our ears, Lord. And whatever you have for us, Lord, let us see it. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, we're in Revelation 13. Here we're introduced to the three main characters. In Revelation 12 and Revelation 13, we're introduced to three main characters. You have Satan the dragon, the false Christ, and the false prophet. And while these events is for a specific age, which is the ending of the, like, you know, you're talking about the 7 years, the ending of the world, it could be applied to all ages. You know, Satan is the great enemy of the church. You know, Satan hates mankind. He is jealous of God. He wants to be like God. That is his MO, to destroy everything that is good. He is all about evil. He is a destroyer, a murderer, a liar. This is what Jesus calls him. However, Jesus has overcame him. Thank God, right? When Christ came down, he walked the earth. He was blameless, and he was worthy to be slain. And because he died and he resurrected, we have life. So everything that you're about to read here, we don't got to worry about. Jesus overcame that. Right? So lies and deception, that is Satan's MO at all time. And he always uses men. You know, he used Caesar, he used Hitler, he used Stalin. He always raises up men to promise the people freedom. That is his always his MO. He promises everybody freedom, but in actuality, he brings them into slavery. And that's what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. You know, he said, you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like God. God is holding back from you. And when they did, they went into slavery. So that is always his trick and always his MO. He uses the media, he uses music, he uses movies, the three M's. You know, this is the things that he uses. So last week, you know, Pastor John recapped the two wonders. First, you had the first sign, which is the first wonder, a woman, which we all believe is Israel. She gave birth to the son, who we all believe is Christ. And as soon as the child was born, Satan tried to destroy him. But Christ overcame him, got caught up into heaven. The second sign and the second wonder, you see the dragon who is Satan. He is cast out of heaven by Michael the archangel, who is called the Prince of Israel. And, you know, in that war, Satan takes a third of heaven. You know, he takes a third of the angels. And that's the third, you know. So now we go to the third sign and the third woe. You know, heaven rejoices where Satan is cast out. But the earth dwellers, they're not going to rejoice, you know, when Satan is cast out. Because now Satan is going to come with full wrath for mankind. Because that's who he really, really hates. And knowing that his time is short, he's going to pour it out on the nation of Israel. And that's where you get the tribulation and, you know, the Antichrist and everything we're about to go through. So now you get to the fourth sign, which is chapter 13. So John says, you know, there he stood, you know, he see a beast rising up out of the sea. And the word beast is literally monster. You know, so now you see this Antichrist, you know, this beast, John calls him the Antichrist. He resembles his dad. He has 7 heads and 10 horns. And just like the dragon in chapter 12, verse 3, you know, he had heads, and on his heads, he had crowns. You know, that's the dragon, which is a picture of kingdoms throughout history. And then now you have the beast who has crowns, but his crowns is on the thorns. That's the difference. You know, with the dragon, the crowns is on the heads, but with the beast, the crowns is on the thorns. So Revelation 17 and 12 says, the horns are kings who have not received power yet. So this is all in the future. You know, this the description of the beast with the horns, this is all in the future. These are kings that haven't received power yet. Chapter 17 also says, spiritually, he comes from the abyss and out of the pits of hell. So spiritually, this is where the beast really comes from. But when you're reading it here, it says he comes out of the sea. And when we're first introduced to the beast in chapter 6, he's a peacemaker. You know, he comes, he preaches peace for the first 3.5 years. And in the middle, you know, he totally switches up on the nation of Israel. You know, and he institutes, he rebuilds the temple. He promised them peace. He has the peace between the Arabs and the Israelis. You know, he does all of that. But in the middle, he breaks that covenant. So, you know, he's a man. But how God sees him, God calls him a beast. That's how God sees him spiritually. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. So this is a prophecy. This man, he will be revealed. He will come. So this man, he's coming straight out of the pits of hell. He's energized by hell. And just as Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he's going to come in the flesh. And, you know, he's not going to come and look like Dracula. You know, he's not going to come and be with horns and, you know, looking all scary. He's going to be charming. He's going to be successful. He's going to be the ultimate winner. You know, like the kids say, he's going to have swag. You know, he's going to look good. He's going to say all the right things. He's going to do all the right things. Because even the scriptures tells you that Satan appears as an angel of light. That's who Satan is. Let us never forget that Satan is a deceiver. It says that his spirit is already here. First John says the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. You know, Paul says that his father, which is the dragon, which is Satan, he is the prince of the air. Again, as I said, you go through TV, radio, the internet, social media. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here working. He's already here working. He's working on the people. He's working on the minds. And he's priming everybody up for it. And as you start to see more and more, lines are being drawn. I don't know if y'all see it, but lines are being drawn in society. You know, you can't, everything is relative. You can't speak against evil. You know, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, everybody is so obsessed with politics. You know, now you're seeing everything is about genders and how your views on gender, if a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. So you're starting to see all these lines starting to be drawn. And when you look at the next generation, that's what they're being promised. Everything is free. You know, you want free health care. You want free money. We're going to forgive all student loans. You know, everything is free, 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 free. And Paul says their gods is their bellies. That's what he says. He says their gods is their bellies. That's what people want. People want everything free. People want everything now. People want it how they want it. And when you think about Jesus, when they tried to make Jesus king when he was here, it came after he fed everybody. Jesus performed miracles. He healed people. People were getting saved. But they didn't want to make him king until he fed everybody's bellies. Until everybody was full, and there was so much food where the disciples was picking up scraps. And that's when they were like, oh, we want this guy to be king. Because why? We just got fed. And we always want to be fed. Again, like Paul said, their God is their bellies. So you're seeing this beast, he's rising up out of the sea. Revelation 17:15 says, the waters which you saw were on the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So, you know, we believe that out of the sea, you know, out of the sea is where this beast is going to arise from. He's going to come from the Gentile nations, right? And Daniel 7 says the same things. So the seven heads and the 10 horns, Revelation 17:9 says, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is and the other has not yet come. So you're thinking about seven world-dominating kingdoms. The five which are fallen is believed to be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, and the Persians and the Medes. One is. So you got to think, when John was writing this at that time, he was in the rulership of Rome. So that's when it says one is. Now, the ten horns, it says, Revelation 17:12 says, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings. And these are countries and rulers that's going to follow in confederacy the beast, the Antichrist, when he comes. You know, he's going to be the man that's going to bring all these nations together. You know, he's just going to, he probably sit on top of the United Nations and all the nations, and everybody's going to follow him. Verse 2, most scholars believe in Daniel 2 that the prophecies are speaking of old kingdoms. And I believe that also. But when you go into Daniel 7, they try to correlate Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And they believe that Daniel 7 is prophetic. So when he's talking about and the beast that I saw is like a leopard, feet like a bear, and his mouth was like a lion's mouth. They believe that these are, you know, old kingdoms. You know, they believe that it was Babylon and Greece. I mean, as I've read more and more into it, I don't see that. I think it's more modern. You know, when you look at the emblem of Great Britain, it's a lion. It's a lion standing up on its hind legs. So it's like the same thing that as you read in Daniel 7. When you see the eagle, you know, the eagle's wings that was plucked, when you look at the emblem of the United States, what is it? An eagle. So I'm seeing it's more as modern kingdoms. When you see a bear, you know, consuming flesh, what's the first thing, you know, what is the emblem, what country, embodies the bear? You would think of Russia. So now I'm seeing it more and more, because the word that is used in Daniel, where it says that beast that stood before him, it's a word that's used that it was in his presence. You know, most scholars believe that it was like, you know, it should have been like one kingdom after another kingdom. But when you go into the word, it's more in his presence. Those other beasts that stood against that fourth beast in Daniel. So I believe that, you know, even with the leopard, you know, the leopard, when you look at the emblem of leopards, a lot of Arab nations take the emblem of the leopard. And it could also be Asian nations. So I believe that it's all future, and that this is modern kingdoms at the time. So when it says that beast had all these kingdoms, this Antichrist, he's going to have all these nations under him. He's going to engulf all those nations to him. Verse 3, it says, one of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled. So, you know, at the time, the Antichrist, he's going to have a wound. You know, he's going to have a wound. Nobody knows exactly where it's at. But, you know, my guess is it's gonna probably be on his head, you know. And when it happens, I'm thinking that when he props himself up as God, you're going to have probably, I don't know, maybe a radical probably will come in and try to assassinate him. See it as blasphemy that this man could come up and prop himself up as God. So maybe it's a mortal wound that comes from an assassination attempt, you know. So, you know, it tells you that, you know, he's going to have this wound, you know, and it's going to be healed. And again, you know, this mortal wound, it's going to look like he's dead. But I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to resurrect. Or he's going to fake a resurrection. And through this fake resurrection, everybody's going to follow him. Ain't that a coincidence? We follow Jesus Christ, and we love Jesus Christ because he was the only one that came and what? He came and died, and he defeated death, and he resurrected. And the world at this time, they didn't want the real, true Jesus Christ. So now this fake Christ comes, and he imitates everything the real Jesus Christ did. And everybody is going to wander after him. Again, he's a false Christ. He's an imposter. And he's going to fake a resurrection. And you're going to see that mentioned two more times about this wound. So, you know, there's something, it plays a major part in the deception. When he gets attacked and, you know, it seems like he's dead. And then he rises back up. Everybody's going to marvel. Everybody's going to wonder. And they're going to follow after him. Verse 4 says, and they worshiped the dragon, for it had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? So that's the main purpose. The main thing is that, you know, they want to worship the dragon. You know, the dragon is Satan. You saw Satan, you know, when he presented himself to Jesus Christ in the wilderness, what did he tell Jesus? If you could just bow and worship me. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to be worshipped. And eventually, through the Antichrist and his antics and whatever he does, people are going to start to look towards the dragon. The dragon that was mentioned in chapter 12 when Pastor John went through it. They're going to start to worship Satan. They're going to start to marvel at the beast and be like, yo, who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? And through that, they're going to start to worship the person who gave all the authority to the beast, which is Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, who the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. I love to read that because I know that Jesus Christ is going to defeat him. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The reason they're going to follow the beast, the reason they're going to follow the Antichrist, because they didn't love truth. People who don't want to receive Jesus Christ, even right now, It's because you're trying to avoid the truth. You're trying to avoid the truth that you're a sinner. You're trying to avoid the truth that your life is a wreck, that you do need Jesus. No matter how good it looks on social media, no matter how much you try to make it look good on social media, at the end, you're going through it. If you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, there's no joy, there's no peace. There's no self-control. There's none of these things. So the people who didn't love truth during this time, they're going to worship the Antichrist. Because as it says, did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's where their hearts were the whole time. And now it's going to come out with the Antichrist. God's Christ wouldn't worship the Antichrist, but this Antichrist, God's Christ wouldn't worship Satan, but the Antichrist, he will worship Satan. And man worship is nothing new. We saw it with Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh propped himself up as God. That's why he refused to let the children of Israel go. Nebuchadnezzar, when he put up his big idol and he wanted Daniel and everybody to worship it, during this time that this was being written, you had Caesar worship. And you even think about Hitler, you know, in Germany. Everybody who came to Hitler had to say what? Hell Hitler. So men wanting to be worshipped, I mean, it's always been there. And we see the word given and allowed a lot in this chapter. So we know that this beast, he's on a very short leash. God is in total control this whole time. You know, he is in total control, because as we read it, you're going to see a lot. He was given the power. He was allowed to do this. He was given this. He was allowed to do that. Seeing that God is seeing everything, and God is using all of this for his purpose. Verse 5 and 6, it says, and the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty things, blasphemies. You know, again, you know, he's going to be blaspheming against against God and his anointed. And again, he's given 42 months. You know, he's given a certain time to rule and to reign and to do all these things. Daniel 11 says, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. You know, in there where it says he shall not regard, he shall not have desire for women. A lot of people believe that he might be a homosexual. I'm not sure. I don't see that. I see it more as, you know, as we see in society, you're seeing a rise in more feminist, this feminist movement that's arising in society. You know, I see this Antichrist coming in and he's straight obliterating that. You know, all these people who are propping themselves up to be somebody with the feminist movement, I see the Antichrist is like, there's no room for nobody else but him to be worshipped and him to be idolized and him to be followed. You know, again, he's speaking blasphemies. He's going to go against the church. He's going to go against the prophets. And it says, you know, he's going to speak against God's dwelling place. So during this time, I'm seeing that his ideology, his philosophy is going to be like, there's no heaven. Because you got to think that the church is raptured at that time. You're going to have believers that's going to probably hear this, read the Bible, remember things that were said to them, and be like, wait, the church got raptured. They're in heaven. The Antichrist, he's going to try to extinguish that. You know, he's going to be like, nah, these people, they didn't get raptured. There's no heaven. There's no prophets. All of that is a total lie. Christianity is not exclusive, you know. So he's going to try to come with this one world religion during this time. And, you know, that's going to be his whole MO, to try to, give understanding to why the church is not here. You know, to try to give understanding to why the rapture happened. So he's going to blaspheme against heaven. He's going to blaspheme against Christianity. He's going to blaspheme against Christ. He's going to blaspheme against God. Verse 7, it says, he goes to war with believers during that time, and he's allowed to overcome them. And I just think about that, you know, one of my favorite songs, the Tears of Fear, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. That's gonna be what he's all about, ruling the world. And you know, I think about, like, you know, even with the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is restraining. You know, the Holy Spirit is not restraining a saving work, but he's restraining more evil. So if the Holy Spirit is restraining evil and you have murder, you still have all these atrocities that's going on in this world, what is the Holy Spirit, what kind of evil is the Holy Spirit really restraining this world from? And, you know, as we start to see more and more, as the Antichrist becomes more and more ferocious, you're going to see. Verse 8. It says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written in the book of life. Revelation 17:8 says, it was written before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19 says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4 says, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In Luke, Christ told his disciples to rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. So, you know, when it tells you about, you know, the book of life that was written before the foundations of the world, what does that really mean? And as we, you know, as the scriptures that we read right here, was it written before the foundations of the world? I believe that, because that's what the word says. Was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world? I believe that, because that's what the word of God says. It says we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world. So before the worlds were founded, all of us were chosen in Jesus Christ. Right or wrong? Amen? So chapter 21, in names of the 12 tribes written on the gates, name of the 12 disciples written on the foundations of the new Jerusalem. So in chapter 21, you see that, you know, on the foundations of all of the New Jerusalem, you see the disciples' names, right? And I can't help to believe that when I get up there, my name is going to be somewhere. You might walk down, I don't know, Mike Parliament Street, whatever my name is at that time. I might walk down, you know, your name or his name. But again, it says that, you know, our names were written in the book of life. You know, and the same way as you see, you know, with the disciples, they have their names up there. The tribes of Israel have their names up there. I can't help to, you know, there might be cities, there might be states, whatever. However the jurisdiction is up there, you might have a city or a name or a street after you. So thank God for that. Verse 9 says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. So that is going to be the word for all those who are dwelling on the earth at that time. You know, the Antichrist, he's going to be out there. He's going to be killing. He's going to want everybody to worship him. And that's going to be the word that's going to hold dear to all those who dwell on the earth. That anyone who is taken captive, in captivity he goes. Understanding that God is just, that they will be redeemed. You know, those who are taken captive, those who are beheaded during this time, this is going to be the word that's going to be held close to their heart. That God is just and God is going to revenge them. Verse 11. We get to another beast. It says, then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. This is different from the first beast that was seen. This beast is coming out of the earth. And a lot of people believe that, you know, he might be a Jew, that the earth is representing of Israel. I'm not too sure about that. I just believe that it's just different from the beast that came before him. You know, the beast that came before him came out of the sea. This one is going to come out of the earth. And it says, it had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. So this beast, which is a different beast, which they call the false prophet, you know, he's going to disguise himself as a man, you know, and he's going to be humble. He's going to have peace, but he's going to look humble. He's going to look peaceful, but he's going to speak blasphemies. You know, the things that he's going to say are going to be so blasphemous against God. And this is going to be the final false prophet of anybody. And this, and he's going to promote the Antichrist. This is going to be his job. He's going to promote the Antichrist, and he's going to convince the world to worship the Antichrist and to worship the Antichrist as God. You know, he's going to be a persuasive preacher. The two horns, it might mean that he's going to be a political and a military. He's going to be political, military leader, and also a religious leader. This is what this false prophet is going to come in with. He's going to come in with this one world religion and this religion to worship the Antichrist. Revelation 16:13 says, "Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So again, these impure spirits, it says it came out of their mouths. And that's going to be his weapon, his mouthpiece. The false prophet, he's going to come. He's going to come with soothing words, but it's going to be all centered about around this religion to worship the Antichrist. Verse 12, it says, "It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and it makes the earth and its inhabitants to worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed." So again, it's going to focus on that wound. It's going to focus on that, whatever happened to that Antichrist. You know, when he died and he resurrected, again, you're starting to see the similarities. He's going to focus on that, the resurrection of that Antichrist. The same way how we focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's an imposter. He's going to focus on the resurrection of the Antichrist. And with that, that's going to be the main thing that's going to be used to have people follow the Antichrist. Verse 13, it says, "It performed great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people." Where do we remember that from? In the chapters before with the two witnesses. When the two witnesses were here to torture the earth and to do these great signs, one of the signs was to cause fire to come down from heaven. So I believe that, you know, the false prophet, he's going to focus on that to discredit those two witnesses. Because during that time, those two witnesses are going to be preaching the gospel. They're going to be telling people to get saved. They're going to be telling people to follow the true and living God. So he's going to come on the scene and he's going to be like, "Look, we could do the same thing. What's the difference?" And that, I can't help to think about, you know, even in the days of Moses. Remember when Moses came and he threw his staff down? And what the sorcerers did? They threw their staff down too. And that was always to discredit the power of God. So this fire coming down from heaven, where this false prophet, he does this great signs and this great miracles. Again, it's to discredit anything that God is doing. So he's going to be like, "Oh, those two witnesses, they called fire down from heaven. Oh, look, we could do the same thing too." You know, you don't have to believe in that God. You don't have to believe in the church. You don't have to believe in those two witnesses. Matthew 24:24 says, "For they shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So these things is going to be great. To the point where if it wasn't for the Spirit of God restraining or holding it back, they could deceive the very elect. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "Even him who's come is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." And the next generation, as I see more and more, is being primed for that. You know, when you look at Marvel movies, when you look at superheroes, when you look at all of that, like for the past couple of years, all the blockbuster, big blockbuster movies has been the Marvel movies. And what these Marvel movies, when you sit there and you watch it, it's the things that these people are doing, half man, half gods, and these things are great. So to us, our generation here, we're like, "Yeah, we know what that is." But to the kids that's growing up, that all they saw was Marvel growing up, they're going to be ready and primed for something like this. When they start to see these great signs and these great wonders, they're going to be like, "Oh, that's what Thor was doing. Captain America did the same thing." They're going to be primed and ready. So you're seeing the spirit of the Antichrist here working. You see how he's getting the next generation and even the generation at that time ready for it. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know and that you may have eternal life." So understand that all these things that are being written right here is so that we could know. So now when even those who are here at the time, they hear the word of God, they'll be able to decipher. The word of God is the tool that's going to be used to decipher the real from the fake. So even if these great lying wonders and signs are being done right in front of them, they're going to be able to be like, no, the word of God told me about this. That's how they're going to be able to decipher the real from the fake. Verse 14 says, "And by the sight that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived." Again, talking about the wound, talking about how the beast was wounded and he lives. And over here it says that a great image was made. And again, we think about Daniel and the golden image, you know, that was propped up. You know, Satan, he wants man to break the very first commandment. You know, the very first commandment is that you shall not make any graven images of the Most High God, right? And this is what Satan wants. He knows if he could get people to break that very first commandment, then the other commandments is out the door. So you're seeing his MO. And even David mocked it in Psalms where he says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." We know if somebody makes a golden image at this time, you know, it ain't going to speak. It ain't going to move. You know, but over here, you see, you know, it's going to be able to speak. It's going to be able to move, that people are going to worship it. So it's going to be something totally different. And as I started to read more and more, you're starting to see the completion of this unholy trinity, right? So now you have God the Father. You see Satan, the dragon, trying to be like God the Father. You have the Antichrist, who's trying to be like who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now you see the false prophet. What does he come and do? He glorifies the Antichrist. That's what he does. He points everybody to the Antichrist. He even makes an image where he wants everybody to worship the Antichrist. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit was promised to come here and do what? Glorify Jesus. So you're seeing this imitation. Now you're seeing Isaiah 14 where it says, you know, Satan, his whole MO, it says, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mountain of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God." You're seeing the heart of Satan and you're seeing it come out. And God is allowing his heart to come out before the whole world, before all of creation. He just wants to be like God. That's it. That's it. That's his whole MO, and you're seeing it being played out to the point where the false prophet makes an image that looks like the Antichrist, and he wants everybody to worship that image, right? In the beginning in Genesis, what did God do? He created man in what? His image, to the point of even that. So you're seeing Satan trying to be like God the Father, the Antichrist trying to be like the Son, the Holy Spirit, the false prophet trying to be like the Holy Spirit, and then he creates an image to be like who? To be like us. So he imitates God each and every way, and God has laid it all out before us. He is showing us the heart of Satan. Verse 16, it says, "Also it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand and on the forehead." So now it comes out with a mark, right? And, you know, the word mark used here is like a branding symbol. You know, it's like a brand, like, you know, when you see fraternities and they get branded, you know, it's like a branding symbol. And I can't help to think that, you know, even in the time of slavery, that's what they would do. They would brand their slaves. And again, you're seeing Satan being a copycat. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So the same way how Jesus Christ has branded us and marked us and sealed us with his Holy Spirit, what does Satan does to his believers? He wants to mark them too. You're seeing this image, you're seeing this copycat, you're seeing this fake Satan. This is what he wants to do. He wants to be just like God. So he tries to do everything like God. Verse 17, it says, "So that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name." So again, you're seeing, you know, this mark is going to come. And you're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to buy the necessities of life that you need if you don't have the mark. I can't see that, right? Nobody could see that, right? That if you don't have a mark, you can't go somewhere and buy or sell. Right? Or you walked in here without your mask, get out. Oh, you want to go to this basketball game? You want to go to this arena? You need your vaccine card. Where's your vaccine card? You are a hater, right? You don't like people. You want to kill everybody because you're not taking the vaccine. Listen, I'm not against the vaccine. If you feel like you need to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. But I know I live in America. And America is free, right? So it's everybody has a choice. Right? Right or wrong. But you're seeing Satan starting to, the spirit of the Antichrist is out there. You know, this is not about the vaccine. This is not about a mask. This is about what Satan is already priming people to do. If you don't have the mask, you can't buy or sell. If you don't have the vaccine, you can't go to school. You can't go to campus. They're saying that to the point where even kids can't go to elementary school if they don't have the vaccine. So you're starting to see how Satan is priming everybody's mind about, if you don't do this, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't have, you can't do nothing. So again, you see that this mark is a number, is a name of the beast. It says that we can't buy, we can't sell. Verse 18 says, "This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has the understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is," what, guys? 666. I remember being a kid, every time I used to hear 666, I used to be like, yo, that's the mark of the beast. That's the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast. You know, everybody believes that the mark of the beast is going to be a chip. I don't believe that. A chip is too simple. Again, this mark is going to show you an alliance to Satan. It's going to be associated with Satan worship. You're going to worship the dragon. You're going to worship the beast. I don't think it's going to be as simple as, you know, maybe a tattoo or maybe a chip. I think it's going to be something more where it's going to align yourself with Satan. And I can't help to think that, you know, maybe this wound is going to be on his forehead. Maybe this wound is going to be on his right hand. So every time they see the Antichrist and you see this wound on his eye or on his forehead, or you see this wound on his hand, I think that's why it's going to be one of those situations where if you get the mark, it has to be on your forehead. It has to be on your hand. It's so that everybody can be what? In the image of the Antichrist. We see 666 everywhere. We see it on rock and roll albums. We see it with the golf people. Even this rapper, he came out with sneakers, 666. You know, he had a 666 sneaker with a drop of human blood in it. So, you know, right now they glorify it. But and during this time, it ain't going to be no laughing matter. It ain't going to be nothing where people are going to be coming out with T-shirts and rock concerts and performing it and having it in their songs. Nah, it's going to be either life or death. Revelations 14:9 says, "Their third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Understand, if you take this mark, you relinquish your right of salvation. That is to be made very clear. So, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, I suggest that you do, because this is the future. This is where the world is going right now. And if you don't want to feel the wrath of the Antichrist and wanting to have to go through all this, you can't buy, you can't sell, you got to worship. If you don't worship, you're going to get beheaded. I suggest you just follow Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus Christ has given us the option to follow him. And that's through love. That's through mercy. That's through truth. That's through grace, right? But with the Antichrist, he wants you to follow him through what? Through wrath, right? Through hatred, through evil, and through deceptions and through lies. And, you know, those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ right now, you know, when the church get raptured and you get left behind, your only option is either take the mark or be beheaded. You're going to lose your head. You know, so this is just my, you know, while I'm reading this, I just want people to really understand this is where the world is heading. So if you're here right now and you haven't really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I suggest that you do. You know, Greg is going to come up. And, you know, if you haven't accepted Christ during the worship, you can come up. You know, you can accept Jesus Christ, lay it all before his throne. Anybody who's watching, I mean, if we're not here, again, don't take the mark. No matter what you do, don't take the mark. I have incorporated it more and more when I'm speaking to my family and my friends, because I'm seeing the times that I'm in now. And I know I could get raptured anytime. So now I'm getting to the point where, you know, I'll do the whole back and forth. I go through the gospel, and then when I see they're being rebellious, I'll be like, all right, whatever you do, don't take the mark. Because I know once you take the mark, you have relinquished all rights of salvation. Right? So let's just thank God, praise God for leaving his word. Let's thank God and praise God that he has given us a way out.
Yes.
It's through mercy again. It's through grace. It's through truth. Yesterday we had baptisms, and I've just watched people just accepted Jesus Christ. And I was like, yo, this is easy. Because I know what I was studying this week. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So again, let's just thank God for giving us the gift of salvation. Amen.